This time without sin. This time for good. This time to execute vengeance. This time to bring about fire and destruction. And bringing about the new. We're going to cleanse the earth. The trees that do not bring forth good fruit. Fruit meet for repentance. The fruits of righteousness and holiness and godliness. If those things are not present, they're going to be burned in the fire. John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. I'm baptizing you with water to wash away, to clean. But there is one who's coming after me who's mightier. I'm not even worthy to carry his shoes. That's like a low servitude position. I had a guy who carries my shoes. The guy who puts things on my feet. He's like, I'm not even worthy to be, his foot shoe putter on her. But he's going to baptize you with fire. Fire is also a cleaner. It purges. You know, the metals are purified by gold. Impurities are removed. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. With the Holy Ghost and power and fire. The Holy Ghost is power. It is power over sin. It does things to you that bring you to a place where you become more like Christ. Where you begin to grow up into Him. Until I receive the Holy Ghost with the speaking of tongues, as according to the apostles got. I did not have any progress in my life. I was always spinning in circles, never being able to get out of the loop I was in of sin and unrighteousness and no victory. And my understanding was darkened in the scriptures. I did not understand the fullness of what was being said. But when the Holy Ghost came, it changed everything. His fan is in his hand. See, his fan, that is the winnowing fan, the fan which is used to blow the grain. Because it was like a winnowing, like you would lift up the grain into the air with the husks still on it, and in the air they would kind of be separated. And the wind would come and blow away the lighter husk, and the dense seed would fall to the ground. And they would kind of flip it up and flip it up and flip it up, and then the wind coming through, a nice wind would blow all the chaff away. He will thoroughly purge his floor. He's going to cleanse that floor. He's going to clean up afterwards. See, he's going to take the grain and put it into his grain receptacle, the garner. He's going to take the chaff that's going to be all piled up outside, and he's going to burn it. He's going to burn it with unquenchable fire. That is the truth about what God does. It is about life and death. It is about burning with unquenchable fire. Fire that cannot be quenched. Because everyone, if you burn something with unquenchable fire, that means the thing is completely burned. He's going to burn down the trees. He's going to destroy utterly. He's not going to, slowly roast on medium heat. No, it is unquenchable fire. It is the fire of destruction. It is a fire that separates you from existence. When then cometh Jesus from Galilee, because the gift of God is eternal life. You see, no man has immortality. They try to talk about immortal souls. These doctrines are foreign to the doctrines of the apostles. The fact the apostles themselves said, God only has immortality. Men are not immortals. Christianity is about obtaining immortality. You see, there's the stark difference. There's life and death, immortality and mortality. There's no sort of in-between. We aren't all immortal and some going to suffer. It's a total corruption. It is a total departure from the doctrines taught by the apostles and prophets. I just got done teaching all the epistles of the apostles of the New Testament. Everything between Acts and Revelation, Romans, Corinthians, all the way through Hebrews, Peter, John, Jude. And I didn't see any of this that they say. And we will also explore in the doctrine of Christ. What does Christ teach? What does he say about the end of judgment? What is the judgment of the wicked? What is the judgment of the righteous? The righteous inherit eternal life, and the wicked will die. They will die a first death and a second death. And the two are the same. Meaning the characteristics of death are always the same. In death, your thoughts perish. In death, there's darkness and blackness. In death, there's separation from God. Because God, there's no place while you exist that you can be separate from God. It says, where can I go to hide myself from thee, O Lord? This is from the Psalms. I forgot the exact Psalm, but you can look it up. If I ascend up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. But according to the Apostle Paul, the end of the wicked is eternal destruction from his presence. God's presence is everywhere. even hell, or, you know, the term is commonly understood, is not the truth of what hell is. Because Jesus himself spent 3 days in hell, which just meant he was dead in the grave. But the language has been so corrupted that there is it's hard to even use that word without make people immediately misunderstanding and coming at it with presumptions based on cultural things and things they see in movies and things they think they know, but they know nothing. Verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered, said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God testifying to the Son of the Son's pleasure to God. John didn't want to baptize Jesus. You know, if there was ever, you know, these days they have arguments about whether people should be baptized or not. Some people say, no, you don't need to be baptized. Other people say, yes, you got to be baptized. Well, what should it be, in Jesus' name or in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Well, there's no name in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's in the titles of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ. So to baptize someone in the name of Jesus Christ is to baptize him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because that is the name by which we know God. There's one name under heaven whereby we must be saved. John. But anyways, you know, what about immersion? Well, Jesus, when he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water. He was in the water and he came up out of the water. And baptism is supposed to be a picture of his burial and death for us. So we are showing his death. So we want to be buried under the water when we're baptized. All right. But Jesus, as if there was anyone who didn't need to be baptized, Jesus didn't need to repent of anything. But you know what? If he hadn't been baptized, he would have needed to repent of something. He would have needed to repent of not being baptized. Because Jesus says, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. All that is righteous becomes me. So it was righteous of him to be baptized. If it is righteous for Christ to be baptized, then it is righteous for me to be baptized. Christ fulfilled it. And I want to be like him. So I do what he did. I think that is a good conscience. An evil conscience to me says, you don't need to be baptized. If you have opportunity to be baptized, why not be baptized?